holding Chavavav on an Aleph, three lines from the bottom. So we learned in the Mishnah about the whole question about writing Totsa Gittin about and Totsim of other stories, and in the case of each one, according to the Tanakhama, what has to be left blank. We said Rabbi Huda says none of them, all of them are possible. Rabbi Elazar said all of them are kosher except Gittin Noshim, which we had Rashi versus everybody else. What that means? Does that mean that with a get you can't even write the Tofus, let alone the Torah, or does it mean that with other stories you can even write the Torah, and with a get you can't? And he finishes off the mission of Shenem of Kosovo Law Lishma, that your get has to be written Lishma for the sake of the woman. So, we ask, well, Kiksiv Law, a Torah for Kiksiv. The word Law in the Pasuk is referring to the Torah, it's not referring to the entire 12 lines of text of the get. So why would Rabbi Elazar say that because it says the Kosovo Law, therefore you can't write the Torah? Elaima, no. What he means is Mishum Shenamar B'chos of Law L'shma. It's because it's not directly Shenamar as in the Pasuk is saying B'chos of Law from which we learn L'shma. That's not the reason for the Tofus to be possible if it's written ahead of time. It's Mishum Shenamar because of what it says, meaning that we make a Gzeira to protect the Din D'Oraisa because it says B'chos of Law L'shma, and therefore it would be possible if you were to write the Tofus Shalai L'shma, therefore we make a Gzeira, don't write the Tofus Shalai L'shma either.
In order to prevent by mistake.
To prevent by mistake, because that's what Gzeira is. It's a siag la Torah, it's a fence around the Torah.
It's not forbidden in and of itself.
So in other words, the difference is, if we said Shenamar, as the Mishnah had said Shenamar, b'chos of law l'shma, which makes it sound as though it's d'oraisa. No, so we're correcting that to Mishum Shenamar. It's only because of what it says, meaning it's a precaution to prevent us from being over on that. Okay, so you must have kasha the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar. If you're going to say, we said before, that the first part of the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Elazar, because we said that the whole concept of having to leave the Torah blank, and Shmuel had said also, that all that is only according to Rabbi Elazar, because according to the mayor it's not necessary, according to him, Eide Chassima Kauti, it's only the Chassima has to be done, Lishma. So first you have Rabbi Elazar saying that, then in the Sefer you have Rabbi Elazar saying that with Gittin Noshim it's possible. So it's contradictory. Okay, you have two Tanoim disagreeing within what Rabbi Elazar says. As we said yesterday, that Ashba says, one explanation that Ashba says what forced the Gemara to say that is because since it says, Mishum Takana, that you do all this because of a Takana, which we learned yesterday with Takana Sofrim, in order to make it easier for the Sofrim to have a pile of forms available, a pile of blanks available, and then they can just fill in the details. Then it says Rabbi Yehuda Poisel, so it's implying the Tanakama is trying to be makel over here.
So in other words, this is
whenever you do the Tanakhama. No. Well, of course it's a machlokes, it's whenever you heard on the Tanakhama, but the point is, if the first part of the Mishnah went to coin to the mayor, then we wouldn't say it's Mishum Takana. According to the mayor, you're allowed to write the entire thing out of time. Mm-hmm. Only according to Rabbi Elazar are we saying, usually the Chachamim would say, don't write a Tofus. Here we're being Mako, Mishum Takana. And then for Rabbi Yehuda Poisel, so that's the only way to understand
it.
The
machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda within the opinion of Rabbi Elazar.
No. Within Rabbi Elazar's opinion, you have the Tanakhama's version, which is that you can write the Tofus ahead of time, and Rabbi Elazar, and the version that's attributed to Rabbi Elazar at the end of the Mishnah, which is that even the Tofus can't be written ahead of time. Yeah. And then in the middle comes in Rabbi Yehuda and says that and says that he's machshir b'kulam, he's machshir that he passes by all of them, even by other shtaris.
So there's three opinions.
Yeah, there's the Tanakhama who says that you can write Tofusim. You have Rabbi Yehuda says you can't write Tofusim at all because we said yesterday he makes a Zera that if you're allowed to do that with other Shtaris, you may come to do it with Gittin as well. And within a get itself, if you do the Tofus, you may come to do the Torah. And then you have Rabbi Elazar, the two different opinions, the true Rabbi Elazar, the Tanakhama, and the last opinion in which is stated in the name of Rabbi Elazar, the Mishnah. Normally you can't write the Tofus at all, but Mishum Takana we allow it, or is it that even we don't even allow Mishum Takana? Or again, according to the other portion, that he would agree in the case of a guest, he disagrees in the case of other stories. He says, not like Rabbi Horda wants to say that it's possible by other stories, but rather by other stories, not only you can write the Tofus, like the Tanakhama said, you can even write the Tofus. That was one explanation then that we said yesterday of what it means when the Mishnah had said Mishum Takana, as we said Mishum Takana Sofer, to make things easier for the Sofer. Second explanation, of Shamsir Amachizkiya, Mishum Kfata. No, what we mean in the Mishnah when it says Mishum Takana, the reason is because we want to make an enactment. This that the Mishnah had said, that you have to leave the Torah blank, which the Torah includes the husband's and wife's names, that is a Takana Mishum Kfata, to prevent arguments. Namely, what's going to happen, for example? So we said, imagine, for example, so okay, we said on a manalif a situation where you'd write terpsim in the first place, where you might think of a situation where you might think to write the husband and wife's name is, let's say, you see the husband and wife quarreling, he knows things are soon going to be heading in this direction, so he figures to write it in advance. And we said that's no good because of a cause of law lishma, where the coin sort of mayor would be. But what we're saying is that, no, according to the mayor, in principle, you could write the man's and woman's names ahead of time because he doesn't hold the writing of the body of the get has to be done l'shma. However, mishum k'tata, in order to prevent arguments, because what's going to happen, this woman is now going to see Mela, if an actual get is not written, okay, they're arguing, then they make up. If she actually walks into the Beis Din Shtibul or into the sofer's office or whatever and sees the sofer is actually writing a get with her and her husband's name, that's going to cause a k'tata. That itself is going to cause friction between them. What do you mean? You know, where you have things gotten so bad that all of a sudden you're just going to divorce me like that? So on the contrary, not like the first explanation that Rabbi Loza says, mi'ikra din, you're not allowed to write the Torah, and we're talking about whether there's a Zeta did a button on whether you can write the Torah or not, and maybe we'll be master it for the sake of the sofer. No, according to this explanation, we're saying the other way around. Mi'ikra din, Rabbi Meir is saying you could write the entire thing, names and all. You just can't write, you just don't write them, mi'ikra banon, because mishum k'tata. But Rabbi Meir, and then this would be according to Rabbi Meir, Dama Eid Chassim Akarti, who says that, you, really, it's only the Eidei Chasimah that creates the separation of the get. Meaning that only the Eidei Chasimah signed Lashma. The get itself does not have to be written Lashma. Over dinner, Dafir of Torah Nami Lichtib. So by rights, really, according to the mayor, you should be able to write the Torah ahead of time also. If you know, Taka, if a sofer sees that a couple is quarreling and soon they're going to get divorced, then yes, you should be able to write the Torah as well. However, it can happen that the wife overhears the sofer writing the get, and she hears her and her husband's name, the sofer, Iyo Kamalei, she's not going to realize that the sofer did it on his own. She's going to think the husband actually went and told the sofer to do it. The Havalok talked about it, and then she's going to argue with her husband. Why is it so unlikely?
She goes into the...
Not necessarily in his office. She's not necessarily in his office, let's say. First of all, yes. I mean, nowadays you think of it as, because if you're thinking of it in modern terms, where you only go to a sofer if you need tefillin, mezuzah, to get, what have you. In those times, the sofer would also write all kinds of other documents also. You borrowed money from somebody. You wouldn't just write any kind of shtar. You need, besides which, it could also be she's walking in. We're saying that we had a shama. She's walking in the street next to the sofer's office.
In the street, or they were...
Wherever they were, someplace off the main street. Yes, so she's walking by over there and she hears it. Rav Chista Amar Avimi, a third explanation of what the takana is, Mishum takanas agunes, Amila. Mishum takanas agunes. We're saying, when the Mishnah is saying that you can't write the names in the get, that is Mishum takanas, or it says you can write the tofus, but you can't write the Torah, that is Mishum takanas agunes, in order to prevent there being a situation of an aguna. Now, what do we mean by that? Amri Lord of Meir, Amri Lord of Elazar. According to this third explanation, within this explanation of Rav Chista, takanas agunes, we have two ways of explaining. One is that the Mishnah is according to Rav Meir, and one that is according to Rav Elazar. Amri Lord of Meir, Amri Edim Chassim Akarti, so therefore, Bedinu Dafi the Torah, Nami Lichtov, so by rights, according to Rav Meir, you should be able to write even the Torah, even the names. However, Vizimnin to have a look at Tata, it can happen that the husband is arguing with his, has an argument with his wife, the Rotachalo, he gets extremely angry at her, and if he finds a ready-made get, the Zorik Leidni Allah, he will just throw her that ready-made get. If he finds a get already written at the sofas, he'll just take that and throw it to her. And then he'll make her an aguna. Now Rashi says, actually, according to Rashi, aguna over here doesn't mean in the normal sense of aguna, as in a woman who's unable to... No, so that's why Rashi says over here, aguna over here means, he's going to, all of a sudden, he's going to be just out of the blue divorced. Not aguna in the sense that she can't be married. But aguna, at least according to the surface meaning of Rashi, not aguna in the sense that she can't be married, but aguna in like the sense 1 minute she's married, and the next minute out of the blue she's divorced. It's an unusual use of the word. Yeah, okay. So there are other mepharshim who talk about various possibilities. One thing is we're saying over here that he's angry and he throws the Torah. So the Chassam Sofer wants to say, for example, you can't give a get in anger. Yes, a husband can divorce his wife unilaterally, but he needs to have das. A person who is angry like that doesn't have das. So therefore, if he throws it to her in that state, a taka won't be a valid get. Well, Ma'agin love, and in that sense, what happens? He thinks it was a valid get and he leaves town, and all of a sudden now she's an aguna over here. She's sitting with a get that was given to her incorrectly. Other Mephoshim, I think that Ashba talks about the possibility that maybe what we mean over here is that he doesn't even bother to check whether it's a valid get, he just throws it to her. you could have a situation also where he throws it to her, and as we've learned before, and we'll learn later in the Masechta, you can have the situation, if it lands closer to him, closer to her, what if it lands in the middle? So he may throw it without paying attention where it lands, and then leave town, and meanwhile, she's sitting there as an agona. One other interesting idea that one of the Achronim brings, he explains Rashi to be saying like this. Not we're talking about, obviously, if she got divorced now, she can be married. But there's a Rashi in Yevamos, we learned a year ago, that mentioned the concept that if a woman has been divorced twice, not necessarily is it a good thing to remarry her. It's similar to the idea of kaplanis. A kaplanis is a woman who two or more of her husbands have died. But also, if she's been divorced more than two times, it's also not necessarily advisable to marry her. What happens if this is the second divorce then? That'll leave her in aguna, in the sense, not that theoretically she couldn't get remarried, but practically speaking, because of that. So that's what we're concerned about.
That's a good reason.
Okay. So according to that explanation of takanas agunas, it means the Mishnah is basically saying, really, you should be able to write the whole thing, that Rabbanon don't want you to write the name. Amri lo Rav Elazar. The other explanation is that what Rav Chisda is saying is the Mishnah goes according to Rav Elazar. Rama Edim Mesira Kavti. He says that the Edim Mesira, the Edim who watch the get being handed over, that create the Christus, that create the division, the separation between the husband and wife, and therefore that means it's the get itself that has to be written Lashma, or rather the Torah that has to be written Lashma.
And
the signatures. Uvedinu dafu the Torah nami the lichtiv. So by writing the coins of Rav Elazar, you shouldn't even need to write you shouldn't be able to even write the Torah ahead of time, because according to him, the whole thing should be written Lashma. The Torah has to be written Lashma. The Torah, we're saying we make a Zahira, so you might forget and write the Torah as well. But that actually, before we should point out, I mean, how would you think to write the Torah if they're the husband and wife names? You can't necessarily know in advance. Okay, so one possibility is, like we said, if he sees already they're arguing. But the other thing is, remember we said on Amud Aleph that part of the Torah is also the word Harayat Materah Pachadim. The sofer may easily think. It's part of the Torah, in other words. The point is, but you still have it in every get, especially after Ben Hakam Takana, it's official, it has to be in every get. So that's it's part of the Torah. So the sofer, though, may mistakenly think, you know what, it's part of the boilerplate. You know, it's something that appears in every get. Yeah. However, feel the Tofus not listed. By rights, you shouldn't even be able to write the Tofus because of the Xera, you might forget and write the Torah as well. But again, the problem is of Aguna, the Zimnin de Boil Mazel Medinafiyam, what happens if the husband wants to go overseas, but like Ashtach Safar, he can't find a sofer to write an entire get on the spot over there. The Shavuot Lava Azil. So he just leaves and goes without giving a get. Umagana Mosavani leaves there as an Aguna. So to prevent that, according to this explanation, the Chachamim allowed the sofer, so not for the takana of the sofer, like we said on Amud Aleph, like we said yesterday, that for the sofer's sake, so that he has a pile of blank forms and you just have to fill in the details. It's for the sake of the wife that she shouldn't be left in aguna. But this way the husband, if he's going to divorce her, can get it done with and then be able to leave without leaving her in aguna. So those are all the different possibilities of what takana means in our mission. And the Mishnah had said, Umokam Azman, the Mishnah had said that one thing you have to leave blank is the space for the date. By the way, Tosfos points out, I mean, the Mishnah had mentioned the matter of the date before it mentioned the thing of Takana. The Gemara was discussing them out of order. First, it discussed Takana from the end of the Mishnah, then it goes back to the date earlier in the Mishnah. The reason is, Tosfos says, because once we started explaining that you have to write Harayat Materas Lachaladam, and that was according to Rav Elazar, then we had to discuss the whole business of who does the Mishnah go like Rav Elazar or like Rav Meir, and that'll affect the meaning of the word Mishnah Takana. Then, once we're done with that, we can go back to the matter of the Zman.
So we have to go through the whole discussion.
In order to figure out who the Mishnah is like, and now we can return to the rest. Yeah. So Makom Hazman, so the Gemara says Kaposik Vatani, so the Mishnah is just saying a blanket statement. Now you always have to leave the date blank. You can never pre-write the date. Lo yishnam in any story. Kaposik v'tani. It's stating a blanket statement. Lo yishnam in any story. Lo yishnam in any story. It doesn't matter whether this get is being written for a divorce between a couple who are already fully married, or whether they were just arusin, or whether they're just an arus and arusa. Now let's consider. Remember we learned in the previous parak that there's two possible reasons, we had Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, two reasons why the date has to be written in a get b'chlal. So let's consider how that fits with what we're saying over here. Bishlema minani surin. I can understand if the get is being written for a couple that was already fully married. So So then, Bein Lamanda Amar Mishum Basa Choyse Ika, Bein Lamanda Amar Mishum Peri Ika. So we said over there, we said Rabbi Yochanan had said the reason why you have to write a date is Mishum Basa Choyse, is Shem Yechapa Al Basa Choyse, because we're married to his niece, or otherwise somebody who he really has feelings for, and so she's Nizane, he's going to try to cover up for her, and pretend as though she was divorced at the time, and write a predated get. So therefore, by writing a date in a get, we avoid that happening. So that makes sense. If it's Minan Nisuin, we need that.
So it's a much better reason to write and put a date on a get than this coming first reason.
Actually, we learned that, and we talked about it when we first learned this. The Yerushalmi mentions an actual case history that happened with that there was a man who was married to his niece, and his niece was Nizana.
Oh, he's married.
He's married to his niece. The man's allowed to marry his niece. That's Basa Choyse, that's what it means.
He's
married to his niece. His niece was Mizana. His wife was Mizana. He wanted to cover it up. He wanted to not have her executed by Beis Din or whatever other penalties if it was after. Whatever. Yeah, that's the reason why we're saying Basa Choyse, because we assume that it could, in principle, happen with any couple.
Yeah.
But it could, in principle, happen with any couple. But if she's his niece, he's likely to have even warmer feelings to her than a regular husband has for his wife, and therefore he may try to cover up for his niece and try to pretend it didn't happen and make it for, and pretend as though it happened after she was divorced already. So he'll write a predated get or an undated get, undated actually we're talking about, and claim that it happened after that. Yeah, that she was a pregnant, yeah.
And it happened.
So the Yerushalmi actually says case history happened of that, and that's why that. I don't know how they figured it out, whatever. But the point is, that's why that's according to Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why they made the takana. And Bein Lamanda Amar Mishum Peirik, and we said the other reason, Rish Lakish had said, because the husband is entitled to peiris from her nixim alug, as long as they're married. Once they're divorced, he's not allowed, he's not entitled to them anymore. So if you have an undated get, you're not going to know when his time of taking peiris is over, and then she's not going to have any basis to go to Beis Din and demand any peiris that he ate afterwards. So, Bein Lamanda Amar Mishum Peirik. So whether you're talking about Basa Choyse or whether you're talking about the reason of Peirik, both of those apply after Nisuin.
Why do we... Peirik should be the first reason, not the
last reason. Because we said over there, we had a whole discussion,
I don't remember.
When exactly does the husband lose...
So much more common than
but on the other hand, we discussed over there that when is the husband not able to eat Peirik anymore? We said that Rish Lakish should... Okay, so according to Rish Lakish, actually, the husband loses pay. We said it over there. On the one hand, Rish Lakish argued that his nurse is not so common. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan holds that, in fact, the husband is entitled to pay this until he actually delivers the get. So the get is written now. It's not delivered till a month later. He's entitled to pay this during that time.
And ask another question. If you say this is not so common, why the Gemara brings it up in the first place?
Fine, because Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan is Rish Lakish's Rabbi, whatever. Okay. Anyway, the point is, both of those apply if for get mina nisuin. Ela mina erusin. Let's consider now a get where the couple was only in the erusin state, in the kedushin state, and then they got divorced. So, bishlein lamandam rishon basa choyse ita. The reason a basa choyse still exists, because a woman who is mizana as an arusa is also chayav nisa, and therefore he may try to cover it up. Ela mandam rishon peira, but if you're saying, according to Rish Lakish, that the reason for a date in a get is because in order to protect her rights to peiris, Arusa miyisla peiri. When she's an arusa, does the husband get any peiris from her kaka? So what's the reason to have a get there? To have a date? No. Yeah. Amrav Amram, hal milsa shmois minei de ula. So Rav Amram says, I heard the following statement from Ula. Da'amar mishum takanas vlad. He said that actually there's a different reason why you need a get, why you need a date in the get of an arusa. The reason is in order to fix things up for a child. I had no idea what that meant. Then I heard the following braisa. We had this in Yevamos as well. A man says, write this get for my arusa. I'm not going to give it to her now. After I fully marry her, after I do nisuin, chuppah, yichud, etc., with her agar shena, at that point I will use it to divorce her. Ain't a get. Then it's not considered a get. Now, why not? Rashi says the reason is because the problem that we talked the other day about get yoshan. We said the other day that if a husband gives his wife a get and then after, not gives his wife, whatever, he prepares a get, he doesn't give it to her yet, and afterwards he's in yichud with her. We said that get is possible because we said there was a problem, gita kodim luvna. People are going to think that she got divorced before she got pregnant from him or from anybody or whatever, and therefore they're going to think the child was pogrom, that he's born out of wedlock. Okay, it doesn't, it's not mamzer or anything, but it's still pgam. Still pgam. So that's what Rashi says, why ain't a get? Tosfos disagrees with that, because Tosfos says ain't a get implies that, it's, that it's not even considered a get at all. A get yoshen is only possible to Rabbanim. But Tosfos explains that actually No. Tosfos agrees with the concept of get yoshen. Of course, it says in the Mishnah, they can't argue with that. But they're saying in this case over here, it's more. It can't just be considered a get yoshen. A get yoshen would be something that's possible to Rabbanim. Ain't a get implies it's not even a get. It has no validity as a get at all. Not even deraisa. So Tosfos explains that actually the vote is over here that here it's even worse than a get yoshin. A get yoshin is we know there was yichud, maybe there was bia, maybe there wasn't. Here, when he married her, we know this. Again, get case of get yoshin is he writes the get in Tevis. He's in yichud with her in Shvat, and he gives her the get in Adar. So we said it's called a get yoshan because we're going to pass a lit mid rabbanon. Because what happens if during that yichud and shvat he actually got her pregnant? Later on, people are going to think, well, she has a baby in next year cheshvan. That means she became pregnant in shvat. Her husband divorced her in Tavis. This kid was born out of wedlock. Therefore, we don't want to allow it.
He wrote the get in
Tavis, but he only gave it to her in Adar. So that's Rashi explains that's the issue over here. Same idea then. The husband said the arus says, write this get for my wife while she's in Arusa. After we fully get married, after we do chuppah, then I'll give her the get. So Rashi says the same problem. Tosfos says it's even more of a problem over here, which is why we're saying ain't a get over here. It's not even get yoshan, is they were in Yichud, in Shvat, maybe they got pregnant, maybe they didn't. Here we're talking about they did via. Echnesena implies that there was the first night via. Obviously, there was via. There's much more of a chance she became pregnant. And that's why we're saying ain't a get. Okay.
I mean...
Yeah, okay, so... Va'amarola and Ola said matam. What's the reason? Because the people may think that her get came before the child was conceived. Hachinami. So the same thing. And the same thing in general. Even not in the case where he. So in that case, that's where he actually said, I'm only going to give her the get after the knissa, after the chuppah and the first beer. Here, in a regular case of Arusa, you don't have that. He's giving her the get while she's still in Arusa. But still, Hachinami, greater Shemayem, Gita Kaidim Lovna. Still, you have the same thing, even for an Arusa, because if with any Arusa, there is that possibility that he may not divorce her until after the Nisuin. And in that case, you'd have a Gita Kaidim Lovna problem. So Tosfos discusses a little bit more about that. I mean, so that's the thing. According to Rashi, if there was Yichud, or in this case Bia, afterwards it would be considered a Get Yashan. Tosfos says it's even worse than a Get Yashan. But anyway, Tosfos also discusses the issue that the Get actually says the word Arusasi. Get says that I'm divorcing my betrothed. But still, the Eidim may think by the time they're signing it, they may think she's still an Arusa, not realizing that by the time they're signing it, she's already a Nesuah. So that reason exists in Eidosin as well. So yes, it's true there's no Peiris, and it's true, there is the reason of Basa Chosso, fine, Rabbi Shlakish doesn't hold of the Basa Chosso issue, but he says in the case of an Arusa, there's the specific problem that you may say, that people may think Gita Kodim Lugna. Amr of Zera, Amr of Abba Bashila, Amr of Amnunas, Amr of Zera, Amr of Abba Bashila, Amr of Amnunas, Sava, Amr of Adaba Abba, Amr Rav, Halacha Kribalazer. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. Now, in what sense? Rashi says the halacha is like him in the sense that you're not allowed to write Tosfos Gittin. That you're not allowed to write the Tosfos ahead of time because you may confuse it with the Tosfos. Other Mefarshim learn that actually he's saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar in the general thing that we have throughout the Masechta of Edi Mesira Kauti as opposed to the Meir's Edi Chasima Kauti. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it says, ideally, you should not...
And you're not allowed to get to write the...
Well, are we saying one or the other? I mean, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that ideally, you should not write Tosfos Gittin, because according to Rashi's understanding of here, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, you're not allowed to. Except maybe the Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah is saying an exception to it, but again, Rabbi Elazar at the end of the Mishnah is Posel B'Kulon. And according to Rashi's understanding, that meant he says you're not allowed to write Tosfos Gittin, not like the Tanakhama. So if you say that that's what the Gemara means by saying halacha k'Rabbi Elazar, then you're not allowed to write Tosfos Gittin, period. And thus it says in Shulchan Aruch, I think it says there that b'di'eved, if you wrote the Tosfos ahead of time, then fine. Look, even Rav Elazar is only saying it b'shum gzeira, so at best it would be posel d'rabbanan. It's not going to be posel d'araisa. Kari, Rav Aleh, Rav Elazar, Tuvina d'chakimi. So Rav said about Rav Elazar, he is the most fortunate of the Chachamim. This that we're saying, that the halacha is like him, he's very fortunate. That the other proportion talk about Tuvayim, means the best of the Chachamim, the wisest, whatever. Interesting work I saw from B'nai Yisafzer, he says the deeper idea of it is, if we say, as many proportion do, that halacha kerbalaza is that Eidei Chassima Pauti rather than Eidei Mesidah Pauti rather than Eidei Chassima, then that affects us every year. Our Zeta for the next year is written by Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, signed on Yom Kippur, and delivered on Hashanah Nava. So by saying that Eidei Mesidah Kauti is as much as to say that the Gzeira is not final even come Yom Kippur. You have till Hashanah Rabba to continue doing Tshuva and get your Gzeira if it was not such a good Gzeira overturned. Therefore, he's Tuvina the Hakimi. He's the greatest and most fortunate of the Chachamim that he gives us that extra chance for Tshuva.
B'nai Yisafzer. Yeah. And the general meaning in this Gemara.
In context, it just means that Rav is saying, look how great and look how fortunate Rav Elazar is that the halacha gets determined like him.
Most of the halacha is like Rav.
No, only in Issa Be'etir. And besides, that wasn't decided until after Rav himself had passed away. He didn't know the halacha was going to be like him. Okay. The question is, after the shtar shtaris nami, does that mean that the halacha is like Rav Elazar in the case of other shtaris as well, when he says that you're allowed to write tofsim of other shtaris? V'homer apapi mishmeid rava, hai ashauta didayani, if you have the kiyum of a shtar that's written by Beis Din, when a shtar is brought to Beis Din with a question about the validity of the signatures, are they forged or whatever, the Beis Din, as we learned way back in Ksubas, a great deal about this, that Beis Din either calls in those Eidim or other Eidim or they compare signatures or whatever. You have five different methods of being the kind of shtar. And then they write, they actually write on the shtar. It has a few different names throughout Shas. It's called an asharja over here. It's also called a henpek. It's also called a kiyum. Whatever. They write on the shtar that we were sitting together as a Beis Din. Pliny and Pliny came and gave Eidos about the signatures over here. And he validated them. And therefore, that's it. This is official. This
on the shtar.
They write on the shtar itself. Yeah. And
what does it call asharta?
So asharta means strengthening. Asharta means strengthening in Aramaic. That's ashruchama. I don't remember the exact shodosh of this, but whatever. It means strengthening in Aramaic. It can be called a kiyum, which means the same thing in Hebrew, upholding it. And it's also called a henpik, which means something that's issued. Henpik meloshen nofak, going out. Something that goes out from Beis Din that the shtar is officially good. Anyway, so hi asharta d'dayani, din michtiva mekame de lasadi sadi achsimis yedayu, if it's written before the Eidim come and testify about their signatures, sula, then it's possible. Alma, if they were to write before the Eidim walk into Beis Din, we know they're on the way, so fine, we're going to write this asharta ahead of time, and we'll wait till the Eidim testify, and then we'll sign it. Then it's possible. Alma mechsi kishikra. Why? Because it looks like a lie. Because what do you mean? You're writing that these Eidim came before us and they haven't come before us yet. Hachinami mechzik hashikra. So the same thing with a tofus of a get. Also, it looks like a sheker. You're writing ahead of time that a man is divorcing his wife when no such thing has happened yet. However, the Gemara says this is not correct. Now, what do we mean by Valesa? So Tosfos brings two possibilities. One is Valesa means we disregard what Rapapi says. We are, in fact, allowed about the Asharta because we find that Din, by a get, that, as we're going to say in a second, that Rav Meir says, that Rav Nachman said, that, well, you know what, let's learn the Gemara, then we'll learn what the lesson. The lesser, Midr Rav Nachman, based on what Rav Nachman said, Omer Rav Nachman, we had this a few times, Omer Hoyer Rav Meir, I feel a motzei ba'ashva, even if you find the get with the names already written and everything in the garbage, chosme v'nosna, then you have Adim sign it and give it to her kosher. V'afil Rabbonim, like pligi alei de Rav Meir, ela b'gita noshin. Even the Rabbanan are only disagreeing with her mayor when it comes to Gittin, debating Ksiv L'Shma, which those have to be written L'Shma. Al-Vashar Shtaris Loi. But when it comes to other Shtaris, not. Other Shtaris, in principle, if you were to find a pre-written Shtar that already has all the information correct, then yes, it would be valid. We're not worried about Maxi Kishikra. And that's what Tosfos says. Two possibilities. One is the lesser means we disregard what Rapapi says. The halacha is not like him. You are, in fact, allowed to write the a shouter ahead of time, the same way as you, in principle, could use a shtar that was written ahead of time. The second explanation is Valesa is not that we're disregarding what Rapapi says, but we're disregarding the question. It's not such a question. You're asking, like, how could we say it's kosher with other shtaris? Yes, we can say that there's a difference between Gittin and other shtaris. That's two different explanations in Tosfos. Not between Gittin and other shtaris, but between an Ashauta and other shtaris. And Ashauta, where Beis Din is writing on there, we were sitting as a Beis Din, and so-and-so and so-and-so came in front of us and said, that you can't write ahead of time, like Rapapi said. However, that doesn't prove that you can't do the same thing by other shtaris as well, to be able to write those ahead of time, yeah. And we see this also, the Omer of Asi, Omer of Yechanan, Shtar Shalova Boy Pro, if you have a shtar that you once borrowed money with it, and then you paid it back, so let's say it's still on the same day, so the date on the shtar is valid, but you're not allowed to use that same shtar to borrow money with it again. Because the shibud in it has already been forgiven. Meaning, in other words, when you paid it off, the shtar is bottled at that point. There's no, the shibud that went along with that shtar is gone. So therefore, now, so what does it mean? So actually, Rashi says over here that it means that it would be a milva al peh. It would be the equivalent of a loan that's done verbally, without a contract. Which means you can still—it's still a valid loan, but you can only collect from Bnei Chodin. There is actually a bit of.
Which means what? If he paid back already.
So Reuven borrows money from Shimon on a certain day. The same day he pays him back. Later that day he wants to borrow money again. Can he reuse the same shtar? So we're saying no, you can't, because when you did the shtar the first time, that created a shibud on any property that Reuven owned at that time. Now when that money has been paid back, that shibud is gone. You can't use that same shtar to create another shibud. You need new signatures. You need new signatures to create a new shibud. So therefore, Rashi says what you'll have over here is a mil val peh. You'll have an oral agreement to borrow money rather than a written one.
So it won't make a shibud.
You'll be able to collect from Bnei Chodin, but not from a shibudim. Whether the shtar itself is valid actually is a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam says the shtar itself is completely invalid. It's as if it was a blank piece of earthenware. There are other rishonim, I believe the Ravid over there says that actually no, the shtar itself is valid.
After they agreed the second time.
Yeah, after they agreed the second time.
Right.
So the Rambam holds the shtar is completely possible. It's absolutely worthless. Right. As other, I believe it's the Ravid says that actually no, the shtar has a certain validity. It can be used to collect on the loan. You just can't use it to collect from Mishabadi. But you can use it to collect from Bnei Chodin.
Don't you need the second time the sense of the Malvi to give validity to the shtar?
Right, well, that's what we're talking about. Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. He paid him back that same day. Now he's borrowing money again. He wants to reuse the same shtar.
But he has to ask Shimon.
Fine, he has to ask Shimon. Shimon agrees, fine. But okay. even if Shimon agrees, it's not valid to be able to create a shibud. And according to the Rambam, it's not even valid as a shtar at all.
That's the question.
That's the point. It doesn't matter if they have both people's consent. The shtar requires the signatures of Adim to be an official shtar, and the signatures were on the first loan, not on the second. So time of the Nimcha Shibud. So what are we saying? Why is it possible only because the Shibud has been forgiven? It shows that we're not worried about the fact that it looks like a lie, the fact that it appears as though it's written about the second loan when really it was written about the first loan. Evidently, we're not worried about that. So by the same logic, therefore, so we see that you're allowed to write shtaris, we see that you're allowed to write tosfim of other shtaris ahead of time, and we're not worried about that. We're not worried about mechzik kashikra.
We're not worried because you can always go to the Edim and ask them how many times they signed.
There is that, but there's also, we're saying that, in the context of it, we're talking about tosfim. So you can write the tosfos ahead of time. We're not worried about mechzik kashikra, that it looks like a lie. We're not concerned about that concept. We're concerned that as long as the shtar itself, not mezuyah mitoycha, as long as not that the text of it itself shows that it's falsified, like we talked about before, then no. Mishnah says, Hamedi get for Ovad Emenu, if somebody brings a get from point A to point B, and then he lost it on the way, Motzil alter, so if he finds it right away, kosher, then last possible. If he doesn't find it right away, it's possible. We'll talk about the Gemara, we'll talk about later on at the end of Omid Beis, so we'll probably get to tomorrow, what exactly is considered alter? What exactly, how soon afterwards does he have to find it for it to still be kosher? The point is, why would it be kosher if he doesn't, why would it be possible if he doesn't find it right away? Because maybe somebody else dropped it. Maybe it's not his get, maybe it's somebody else's. Motze b'chafisa oy b'dluskema. If he finds it in a chafisa or in a dluskema, so the Gemara is going to later on define that these are two kinds of containers. A chafisa, the Gemara describes over there is a small leather bag, and a dluskema is also a small bag. The Gemara says that old people use it to keep their personal items in. Whatever it is, if you find the get in that, imakira kosher. So if you recognize it as kosher, now what does that mean? Rashi says it's one or the other. If you find it in a chafisa or a bluskema, that's kosher, as long as you recognize the chafisa or the bluskema. So even, in other words, you don't recognize the get, but you recognize the container, then it's fine. Or if you don't recognize the container, but you do recognize the get, you have a siman in the get, then it's also kosher.
You don't need both.
However, Rashi, on the Rif, and also the Rambam, say that you need both. You need both. You have to recognize it, and it has to be in a container, yeah. The Gemara says, Ruminu, I have a contradiction. You're telling me that if you find it right away, it's kosher, and if not, it's possible. A Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, Motze gitin nashim v'shechura avadim, if somebody finds a woman's get or an eved shtar shechur, diatiki, or you find a diatiki, which is a will from a shtivmera, Rashi over here says that diatiki is made up of the word dotehei lamekan. This will be something upheld, because as we've learned many times already, the words of a shchiv mera are considered absolutely valid. You don't need an opinion, you don't need nothing. So like this, when it's written, it's official, so that, and therefore it can be called dotehei lamekan, diatiki. Other people point out, other people say that actually comes from a Greek word, the diateke is Greek for a will. Anyway. So you find that, matana, so you find a shtar matana from, this is talking about matana of a body, of a healthy person, there you need an official shtar signed by Adim and a Kenyan, etc. Veshovrin, or you find a receipt, somebody had borrowed money and then they paid it back and then a receipt was written for them. Harezo lo yachzu, in all those cases you should not return the document to either one of the parties. So in the case of the get, don't return it to the husband, don't return it to the wife. In the case of the shtar shichur, don't return it to the master or to the heved, etc. Because you never know. Because there's a possibility, maybe you wrote them and then changed your mind and decided not to give them. So for example, in the case of the get, don't give it to the husband, because what if he did already give it to the wife? She needs it as proof that she can collect her ksuba. On the other hand, don't give it to the wife, because what if the husband never gave it to her as a possible get? So, which implies, ha'ama tnu, but all that implies then that what is the Mishnah saying over there, don't return it? Because we don't know if the person who the shtar is coming from ever said to give it, which implies, ha'ama tnu, but if he does say, go ahead and give it to her, go ahead and give it to the heaven, etc., nice thing, then we do give it. Vafilul is man meruba, even if it was much later. So why is our Mishnah saying, only if he found it right away is it kosher? No, but it doesn't matter the date. No, the reason why our Mishnah is concerned if you find it much later is not because of the date.
No, if he finds it much later and there was original date, and then the husband says, give it to the wife, but the dates are not the same. How can he give it to the wife?
I don't understand. I mean, if you
write the get January the 1st, you find it to March the 1st, and then the husband says on March the 1st, give it to the wife.
So what's the problem? If the get was written, if the get had never been lost, you could do just that. You could write the get, and you could write the get in Tavis and deliver it in Adar.
Even if there was a lapse in intent between...
No, we're not talking about intent. We're not talking about the husband changed his mind in between. If he never changed his mind, if he was mevatel, we'll get to the next paragraph, the dinim about the husband being mevatel to get. What's the deal with that? We'll get to that. But if he wasn't mevatel, if he said, all this time I've been intending to give my wife this get, it's just I was looking for it everywhere, go ahead and give it, then fine. Then we don't have to be choshish. What's the Mishnah in Bava Metzia telling us? Don't give it to her. Don't give it to him, because what if it was already delivered to her? Right. But if he specifically said, go ahead and give it to her, then fine. He's appointing us his shliach, and we can go and give it to her. Yeah. Whereas our Mishnah is saying, if you find it a while later, don't give it at all, because it may not even be the same get that he originally wrote. It might be another get from somebody with the same name. So how does that work? Amar Rabba, Loikasha, Kan B'Makam Shash Yoritz Metzuyas, Kan B'Makam Shein Ash Yoritz Metzuyas. It depends whether it's a place where caravans of people commonly go by. If you have, our Mishnah is talking about where many people constantly pass by. There's a big chance, therefore, that this get was dropped by somebody else. So it may not even be the same get. The Mishnah, Bava Metzia, is talking about where a place where Ein Ashiyoras Metzuyas, where it's not so common for caravans to go by. So therefore, there's no real reason to worry that it might be a get that somebody else dropped, especially if it has to be somebody with the same name, etc. Yes. But then it just depends on the situation. Do we know whether it was ever delivered or whether he wants it to be delivered now or whatever?
You could never do it in a city like New York.
I guess not. However, now the Gemara asks on that. Not the Gemara asks. The Gemara states on this that the Gemara qualifies what Rabbah is saying. Even if it's a place where caravans commonly come by, it's only if we have a chazaka that there are two people of the same name, let's say Yosef and Shimon, in the same city. Because what happens in the get? It says that on a certain date, Yosef ben Shimon divorced his wife, Rachel Bas, whatever, on such and such a date. So only if there's two people of the same name in the same city, then if it's Malkum, Shasha, Yardas, Mitzuyas, then we have that those two factors taken together are enough for our Mishnah to say that the get would be possible. But if not, if we don't have that chazaka, then according to Rabbah, we would have to say there's no problem.
Who has to make that determination?
If we know there's a chazaka, that there are
meaning.
Two. Meaning based in, whatever. Meaning that if we know, we ask the people in the city, we find out whether in that city there are yet. Before we talk about an interesting question, by the way, do we need also that we have a chazaka that there's somebody who has a wife of the same name and a wife's name and her father's name is written in the get also? Some of us say yes. When we talk about Yosef and Shimon, it also, by implication, it means that they also have wives of the same name. Other Mephoshim say not necessarily. What if, for example, suppose you have two Yosef and Shimon in the same city. One of them, fine, we know is married to Rachel Bas Avraham. The other one, we don't. What if he was Mekadesh another Rachel Bas Avraham and now is divorcing her and we didn't know that up until now? So therefore, even just the fact that there are two people named Yosef and Shimon in the city, same city, and the Shayyaras Mitzuris is already enough cause for concern. Why? Why do we have to say that? Because if you're not going to say that, Kasha the Rabbah the Rabbah, then we would end up with a contradiction between two statements of Rabbah. How so? The Gemara told us in Bava Metzia, one time they found a get in the Beis Din of Rav Huna, it had been brought there to be Mekayim it. So it had a henpith on it. It had an ashauta, like we talked about before. A henpith, like we said before, that they brought it to Beis Din, and Beis Din certified that the signatures are valid. So we have
people
a Beis Din of three. The most explosive, to tell you. Okay. So they found this get. They have a ksivbe. It said in the get that it was written b'shviri masa dal rochis nara. It was written in the city of Shviri on the river Rochis. This, by the way, this Gemara over here we mentioned yesterday or two days ago that's how we do nowadays, right? The name of the river, or the name of the water source, or whatever, in Gittin, that's based on this precedent over here, yeah. We could talk about this at great length, or whatever. We don't really have the time, but there are actually some interesting corner cases of various places in the world where they write a get where there is no large river nearby. Johannesburg is one of them. Johannesburg was originally built over there where there were gold fields, not because... So there are. This is made by Yonis and Neba Eris. There's just springs and wells. Also Atlanta, when I lived in Atlanta, for example, even though Atlanta is near the Chattahoochee River, they don't write the name of the river in the get. They just write Almay Mayonis. I once asked, when I was in aid on a get over there, I asked the sofa who was writing, why not? And he referred me to a truva, it's a Shiloh the truva's base obi. There was a whole back and forth about this. There was a whole back and forth about this between two Rabbanim who were in Atlanta at the time. This was like in the 1910s. About the city didn't quite reach the river then. The city, the built up area of the city didn't quite reach the river, but they got their water supply from the river through pipes. So do you write the river Bechlal? Do you write maybe the Tzad that it's near the river, or do you leave it out altogether? It was a major machlokas between two Rabbanim at that time.
What do we do in Eretz Yisrael? There is no big river.
But there's streams. There's whatever. You write the Tel Aviv, you write the Yaakov, and whatever. So Yerushalayim, you write the Shaloyach Spring. So the eventual accepted opinion was that you don't write the name of the river there. You just write Amay Mayon. That's it. So now, when they found this get, Rav Huna said, "Chayshishin l'shnei Shviri." We have to be concerned that there may be two cities named Shviri.
Yeah.
Now, Rashi is saying. So is Rav Huna saying that as a statement? By the way, Rashi over here doesn't say. Rashi in Bava Metzia says that he's saying it as a statement. Tosfos elsewhere talks about that maybe Rav Huna is asking it as a question. Do we have to be concerned that there might be two Shviris?
Chayshishin means more than just a question.
Yeah, but do we have to be choshish? Do we have to be concerned? That's the question. Do we have to be concerned? Ve'omer of Leir of Chista to Rabba. So Rav Chista says to Rabba, so Rav Chista was one of the senior Talmudim of Rav Hone. He was pretty much a Talmud. He was a Talmud Chover of his. He was a Talmud slash, more than Talmud, more. He was a Talmud slash colleague. So he says to Rabba, who was one of the next generation of Talmudim, he tells him, Puk va'ayimba, go out and investigate this. This evening, Rav Huna is going to ask you about it. So according to the first explanation, Rav Huna is saying, definitely, Chashin and Lashnei Shviri. Now he's going to test Rabba on that. Do you have a source for what I'm saying, Chashin and Lashnei Shviri? Or maybe do you have some way of schlugging it up? According to the explanation of Tosfos, that it was a question, Shitimuk Bethes also brings it, that he's saying that Rav Huna himself is not sure. This evening, he's going to ask you if you have a source one way or the other on it. Okay. Nofak, so Rabba went out. Doc, he checked into it. Ashkach, he found something. What's the lotion? Nofak, Rabbi Akiva Eger references over here a Tosfos Yom Tov in Obos, that Tzur Ru'u is the Derech Tova, that Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh says to Talmidim, Tzur Ru'u means over there, like he's telling them, like, go out of your mental state that you are now, go into a completely different, be machshit yourself of your Gashmias, and get into a higher level over there where you can think of this. So then according to this, this might be the same thing over here. Other Mephoshim talk about it a little more prosaically, that it may mean, for example, that he had to go out of the Medrash to look at secret notes of Mishnayos and Brayos. They weren't allowed to write Torah Shabbat in those days, but you were allowed to keep private, secret notebooks of new chidushim that you had heard. So maybe you have to go out of the Medrash to check his private notebook. Anyway, Vashka, and he found something. This man, a Mishnah that says there in Bava Metzia, Kol Ma'aseh Beis Din Harei Ve'Yafter. Anything that came out of Beis Din, you can return. Because if you have the cases that we mentioned at the beginning of the sugya, Gitei, Noshim, Shakura, Vadim, etc., are all done in private. The guy may have written them and changed his mind and decided not to give it after all. But something that already came to Beis Din, like in this case, this get had a henpik on it. Nobody brings a get to Beis Din to have a henpik written on it for no reason. Obviously, it must have been already given. So they, and therefore, the Mishnah says, Yachti, therefore, Harei Zeh Yachti, we should return it. Now, how does that relate to our situation over here? The Hobe Dina de Rav Huna, de Chamakam Shashayaris Mitzvahis. I mean, now the Beis Din of Rav Huna is the equivalent of a place where there's Shayaris. There are constantly people coming and going to Beis Din. People are always coming for Dinei Torah and to learn Halacha. So there's always people. Beis Din of Rav Huna is in Surah, but wherever it is, it doesn't matter the geographical location. The Beis Din of Rav Huna is a major, people are always coming and going to learn Torah and then for Dinei Torah. And we see that Rabba is saying that the Mishnah is implying that you should return that debt. So Alma, so that proves Yoshne Yosef and Shimon Behiran. So in other words, before in the first part of the sugya, Rabba was saying that if it's a place Shashi Yosef and Suri, you should not return the debt, like our Mishnah is saying. Yet in that case, he said return the debt. What's the difference? Not because Maisa Beis Din. The difference is, Alma, I Huchsuku, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, Ve'irachas, Ein, Ve'iloiloi. The difference is, do we have a chazaka that there's two Yosef and Shimons in the same city? In other words, Rabbi is saying like this. The possibility of two Shviris we're not worried about. Within Shviri itself, there might have been two Yosefs and Shimons. But unless we know for a fact that there are two Yosef and Shimons in Shviri, then it's not a problem, even though Shayaris Mitzuyas, even though many people are always passing through the space, then somebody else might have dropped the get. But since we can go and ask around in Shviri, and they'll tell us there's only one Yosef and Shimon over there, then automatically we know it must be his. We don't have to worry about Shayaris Mitzuyas. That's why the Gemara had said that it's not unique. In order according to Rabba, for the get to be possible, as it says in our Mishnah, you need two things. You need it has to be a place Shayaris Mitzuyas, that people are always passing by, therefore somebody else might have dropped it, and it has to be somebody else in the same city who has the same name. So therefore, it conceivably could come from him. So, since in the case of the get that they found in Rav Huna's Beis Din, they didn't have the second thing. There's no two Yosef and Shimon and Shviri, then no problem.
It was kosher. So you have to make sure that there are two people.
If there are two people with the same name in the same city, and it's a place Shashi Yoras Mitzurius, then you have a problem.
No, I understand. But what is the proof? You have to prove that there are no such two people? Or
yeah. If there's a chazaka, I mean, people live in town. People know who lives in town. You check. Is there a chazaka?
You check.
By default. Okay. So Gemara says, Rabba Paskin one time about a get that was found in the place of flax in Pumbedissa, according to his teaching, that you need both factors in order to pass the get. Even if you found it sometime later, you need two Yosef and Shimons in the same city, and you need Shayaris Mitzuyas. Well, what does it mean? titna. There's two different versions. When we say bay titna, that you found it in the place of flax, what was this place? Titna amri, one version is beducha hecha betaru kitna, that it was in a place where they soak flax, which is not a place where people commonly pass by. Therefore, the afa gab dehochzegu, so therefore, even though we know there's a chazaka that there are two Yosef and Shimon in the city where this came from, but since people do not commonly pass through over there, then therefore there was no reason to worry that it came from somebody else. Few enough people pass through there that it's not likely that there was somebody else dropped again, even though we know that there were two people of the same name in the original city. That's one thing.
Something different.
No, they were saying that according to Rabbi, you need both factors for it to be possible. If either factor is missing, it's kosher. So in this case, so according to this understanding of the story, there was a chazaka of two Yosef and Shimon, but it's not shchichi shayarta, there's no shayarta, therefore it's kosher. The ikadamri, other versions are, the duchta de mezabni kitna, it was in the place where, where they sell flax, which is a place that's shayarta so common, therefore it has to be v'hushalai hukhsaku, so it has to be there was no chazaka of two people of the same name in the same city. However, shayaras are common over there. So again, according to either version, Rava was saying, because only one of the two factors exists, therefore this get is kosher. Had it been, for example, in a place where they sell flax and there were two Yosef and Shimon, then he would have said it's kosher. Okay. Thus far, according to Rava. Rav Zera, Rami Masnis in Abraiso Mishani. Now Rav Zera says, I have a contradiction between between our Mishnah and Abraiso. Never mind.
Before we push the other. What is the reason Rava puts two of these positions? Shayaras and names.
Because that's what he's saying. If there's no Shayaras, it's just logic. If there's no Shayaras passing by, then there's no reason to think that anybody else dropped to get there. It's rare enough for people to drop in at all.
But let alone check that the names don't exist.
That's the thing. So, not when he said the names don't exist, we know there's one person in town with that name. Yeah,
I mean, the second person.
That's the point. If we know that in the original city there was not another Yosef and Shimon, then it doesn't matter how many Shayaras passed through. The whole population of New York could be passing through there. As long as we know there's only one Yosef and Shimon in all of New York City, then we're good.
So it's not two conditions.
It is. You need, in order for the get to be possible, if the get was lost in Tavis and found in Adar 2 months later, let's say,
yeah.
And when would we say it's possible? When would we apply what our mission is saying, that if you don't find an altar, it's possible, only if, number one, it's placed with Shlichi Sheyarta. So therefore, there's a real possibility that during those 2 months, somebody else dropped to get.
Right.
And number two, that you have two people, you know that in the city, there are two people of the same name.
Right.
So therefore, there's a possibility that it wasn't written for the first Yosef and Shimon, but for the second Yosef and Shimon.
Right. So, and you need those two conditions
for it to be possible. If either condition is missing, it's possible. Right. That's what we're saying. Reb Zera, Rami Masnis and Abraisa Mashani. Reb Zera pointed out a contradiction between our Mishnah and Abraisa, not with the Mishnah and Bava Masiyah that Rabba had talked about, but rather Abraisa. Mashani, and then he explained it. So now we learn in our Mishnah, maybe get the other name anyway, Matzala Alta Kasha Vimla Apostle. So our Mishnah is saying only if you find the get right away is good, and if not, then it's possible. Uraminu, but then I have a contradiction. Abraisa, also in Bava Masiyah, says, Matzah gets Ishabashuk, if you find a woman's get in the marketplace, if the husband admits that he had said it should be delivered to her, and it was on its way to her, and then it was dropped by the shliach, yachzal isha, then fine, you return it to the woman. You become the shliach to deliver it, or you give it back to the original shliach or whatever, and he delivers it, and good. Eina baal moide, if the husband does not admit to that, lo yachzal loy lo zev loy lo zev, meaning that he did not say that he said to deliver it. So loyakza, you can't return it to either one. You can't return it to the husband because maybe he did already give it to her. And then if you return it to him, he's gonna claim that I already paid you your ksuba. And you can't give it to her because she may use it to remarry with, and she can. What if it was never delivered to her? Which implies hab is man shabal moide, but if the husband admits, we're saying miyas yachzalisha, and nevertheless, we're saying you should return it to the wife. Nachzul is man meruba. Presumably, that brayso is saying even if he found it sometime later. So our Mishnah is saying only if he found it right away. That brayso in Bava Metzia is saying you should return it. Doesn't matter how long. As long as the husband says that he meant to deliver it to her. So you have a contradiction. Umashani, and he answered similar to what we said. Kan mamakam shav shiyaris mitzuyis. Kan mamakam shein shiyaris mitzuyis. It depends whether there's many people passing by.
Who was that?
That was Reb Zeira said that. Now, wait. Well, ikadami. Now, one version within what Reb Zeira says is v'hu shehuchseku hu d'loy lahader behind the zaka. One version is that he said that when would we say you don't return it? Only if besides for shayyarat, you also have a chazaka of two Yosef and Shimon. In that case, behind the Zadaba. In that case, he's saying exactly what Rabbah said, that you need both factors for it to be possible. The Ikadami, another version is that Reb Zeira is saying, no, Afagab de loy hulchseku lahader. Even if there's no chazaka of two people with the same name, as long as you have shayyarat passing by, you don't return it, upliga de Rabbah. And then according to that, he's disagreeing with Rabbah. Rabbah said you need both factors for it to be possible. Reb Zeira is saying one factor, shayyarat, is enough to make it possible. Fine, I can understand why Rabba does not want to learn like Reb Zeira, because Masnissin Alimelel actually, he figures it's better to point out a contradiction between two Mishnayos. Mishnayos, we know, are supposed to be accurate. They're put together by Rebbe with the consent of all the Chachamim, etc. Braisa, not necessarily. Sometimes you find a Braisa, there's a mistake in it. So therefore, if you can find a contradiction between two Mishnayos and point out how to reconcile it, then that's a much more powerful question than if there's a question between a Mishnah and a Braisa, where you could always say the Braisa is inexact or whatever. Elo Reb Zeira, my time alayama karaba. So why does Reb Zeira not agree with Rabba? Why did he only find the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa? Why didn't he
agree with Rabba?
No, well, they're both Amaroyim, they can disagree. But why didn't he notice the same contradiction that Rava did? Interesting thing, by the way, before we continue with that, you know, if you look back at the beginning of the Gemara had mentioned the stira between the two Mishnayos anonymously. It just thought out, Uruminu, Matagit Nashim Shikravadam. Only then does Rava come in with his answer. But we see from the Gemara over here that Rava himself is the same one who came up with the question and also the answer. So we can generalize from that. A lot of times, we have stumbled to Gemara. We have a Gemara that says something stumbled, that the Yeshivalite came up with a question. We see from this that many times it can be from one particular time, from one particular Amora, who later on appears in the Surya. There's a fellow, some 30 years ago at the JTS, named Halivni Weiss, who came up with a notion that most of the Stum of the Gemara was written way, way after the Vinaya and Rav Ashi. Based on this, we see that's nonsense. Yeah. So why didn't he point out his statement in connection with the two Mishnayos? Why did he drag in the Braisa? The answer is Amalot, because Reb Zeira would tell you, because the Mishnah in Bava Metzia doesn't say anything about if he says to give it, then you should give it even long afterwards. That's an inference that you're deriving from that Mishnah. And in fact, Tosfos on Amud Aleph has a long discussion about how exactly we can infer it from the Mishnah. So Dilma, Imam Atznu Noisnin, Kirikhaim Alon La'alter. Maybe what the Mishnah means in Bava Metzia there is yes. If he says give it, then you can give it right away, but only if you find it, you can give it, but only if you found it right away. If you found it later on, then our Mishnah is telling us that you can't return it, even if he said tenu. So therefore, Reb Zeira says, I don't consider the two Mishnayos to be so contradictory. But the Braisa, that's clearly contradictory, because the Braisa is clearly speaking about the case where he says to return it, where he says, I meant to give it, or I didn't mean to give it. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, I have a different reconciliation, I have a different way of reconciling the Mishnayos and the Braisis. Never mind this whole idea of Shayoras Mitzuyas, or two names the same. Going to Tamri Edim, suppose you have that the Edim who signed the get, say, Me'olam Lechasamnu El Al-Get Echad Shayoras Mitzuyas. We know for a fact we never signed a get for anyone, we only ever signed one get with the name Yosef Ben Shimon on it. So therefore, you call in the Edim, they say, we ask them, we call in the Edim. We say, we found this get, your name's assigned on it. There's two Yosef and Shimons around. There's two or more Yosef and Shimons in town. Which one does it belong to? Actually, what they're asking is, is it possible that this get could have come from either one of them? Is it possible that there are two Gittin floating around that have your signatures on them? And they can answer, no. We only ever signed one get that had Yosef and Shimon as the name of the husband on it. Automatically, therefore, we know that this get must belong to this one Yosef and Shimon who's claiming it.
And the other one?
The other one's not claiming it. So Tosfos points out, that's the vote. We're not going to say... The husband, why would the husband think to claim that the get is his if it's really not his? He might be trying to save a few dollars. He might be trying to save the money that's paid to the sofer to write it. Okay, we said the other day that the woman pays that money, but still, okay, you know, the money that it takes to get the hen pick, whatever. But still, for that purpose, he's not gonna lie like that and claim that the get is his and then mess her up like that for all the future that she's gonna remarry, thinking that she's divorced and really she's an HSA. He's not gonna do that for a couple of dollars like that. Therefore, if he's claiming the get, then fine. We're able to that extent to take him at his word. If there were two Yosef and Shimon's claiming it, then we'd have a problem. Since we only have one Yosef and Shimon claiming it, and the Edom are saying there's no possibility that this belongs to the other Yosef and Shimon because we only ever signed one Yosef and Shimon's get. Therefore, there's no true Giffen out there with that name, then fine. That's good enough. That's good enough evidence to return it to him. Whereas the Mishnah in Bava Metzia that says that you can't return it, and our Mishnah that says that you can't return it if it was sometime later, is if there's more than one Yosef and Shimon. And the Edom themselves are not sure how many such Giffen they ever signed. By the way, Tosfos points out that we have to be talking about over here. It's not they didn't show the Edom the actual signatures. If they show them the actual signatures, then that's it. You know, then obviously we're you know, there's no reason to think that there were other Edom out there with the same names and the exact same signatures. Like this, we're not showing them the signatures. We just tell them we found a get with your names on it. As long as they're able to say that we only ever signed one get with the name Yosef and Shimon, then we don't have to worry that maybe there's a husband out there with the same name, a wife with the same name, and Adrian with the same names. We can already, okay. Question is, Yachi Ma'ala Memra, if that's the case, if that's what the Adrian say, then what's the Chiddush? The answer is exactly that. Ma'ala Tema Lichish Duma Yisrami Shmok Shmok Adrian to Adrian, because maybe you should think that maybe it happened. Fine. Besides, there might be two Yosef and Shimon, what if there's also two Yitzchak ben Avraham, one aid on the get, and two Reuven ben Yaakov, the other aid on the get? And what happens? So fine, these aidim, this particular Yitzchak ben Avraham and Reuven ben Yaakov are saying we never signed any other get with the name Yosef and Shimon. But there could be another pair of aidim out there with the same names. We don't have to worry about that, as Reuven is saying. Rav Ashi says, here's another way of reconciling it.
Because what, it's unlikely to happen,
yeah. Rav Ashi, I'm going to call on next, which actually before we talk about is Rav Yirviya and also Rav Ashi that we're going to talk about now. Are they necessarily disagreeing with Rabba and Rav Zeta? Are they saying that it doesn't matter Shayyaras Mitzuyas or Hochziku Shnei Shemus or whatever? Or are they giving related? They're saying we agree with that principle that you need Shayyaras Mitzuyas in order for there to even be a problem in the first place. Then even if Shayyaras Mitzuyas or you have two names the same, we can solve it by asking the agent, did you ever sign a get with the same name?
Yeah. They can make it a first condition or a second condition.
Yeah. Ramashi Yama, here's another way. Suppose that the one who's claiming the get, the husband or the shliach, actually Rashi says the shliach who lost the get, says, I have a siman on it. There's a hole next to such and such a letter in the get. That's called a simon, Gavale simon mutav. That's a very precise simon. And therefore, that's
a hole in the get.
There's a hole in it. Not necessarily on purpose, but it so happened that the parchment had a hole in it, and that hole, I recognize that hole is next to a certain letter. That's a simon mutav. That's a very definitive simon.
Didn't we say sometimes, once you get it given, there's a...
Nowadays they rip it up. And in those times they didn't. In those days the woman would hold on to the get as evidence that she can remarry and that she can collect her ksuba. But the thing is, again, in those times the dinim of writing a get were much simpler. There were many fewer machloikas in about the details of how a get has to be written. And therefore, she could keep the get. There wasn't so much a possibility that many years later, somebody is going to go look at this get and say, hey, it doesn't follow such an opinion as possible. Nowadays, there's such a vast number of opinions about the details of how a get is to be written. And I mean, we haven't had a Sanhedrin for 1,500 years, so we don't have any way of reconciling those machlokes in. So therefore, we want that as soon as possible, after the get is written, that it's unavailable for any further perusal in order that the get. So he says there's a whole next decision's letter. The Havel is simon mover. That is considered a very precise simon, and therefore you can return it on that basis. So the case in our Mishnah where it says that you should not return it after some time is talking about when you don't have a simon mover like that. The case in Bava Metzia where it says go ahead and return it, even if it's a long time later, it's talking about there's a simon mover. So the adapter, but Sada is pointless. However, that only works if he said that there's a whole next to such and such a letter. That's considered a very precise simon. But if he just says there's a hole in it without specifying where the hole is, then no good. Because the sapkale simon and ideraisi idirabonon. Because Rav Ashi has a suffix, the Gemara discussed in Bava Metzia, in the second paragraph of Bava Metzia, where there's a sugi over there about the question. When we say that he's maturing somebody's lost object based on they give simonim and get back the object. Is that deraisa you're supposed to do that? Or maybe only derabanan? Maybe with deraisa you really need edim to say that this thing actually belonged to you, and with derabanan it's good enough just with simonim. Or is it with deraisa you can actually use simonim? We talked about this actually a little bit at the end of Yavamos. Instead of edim, yeah. We talked about this a little bit in at the end of Yavamos in connection with the whole business of simonim on the body of a person to identify whether he's a husband, whether he's a dead husband or not, yeah. In this case, Rav Ashi has a suffix whether simonim or daraisa are valid daraisa or derabanan. So when it comes to being master and ashes ish, we can't rely on just a plain old simon because it might only be valid derabanan. You can't use a simon which is only valid derabanan to be master and ashes ish. But when it comes to a simon mufak, a precise simon like this, that's something that you can use even on daraisa level. Yeah.
When it says there's a hole next to this letter.
When it's next to this letter, yeah. Okay, so Gemara tells the case. Rabbi Babachana Yukasla Gitta Be Medrusha. Rabbi Babachana lost a get in the Bes Medrash. Rashi says an interesting thing. Rashi says Rabbi Babachana was a shliach. Not that he was a divorcing husband, but rather he was a shliach. But first we'll talk about a number of reasons why, what forces Rashi to say that. One of the most straightforward is because divorcing one's wife is not really such a good thing. The Gemara does not want to assume that Rabbi Babachana divorced his wife. So we should assume that he was a shliach. But there are other forces who will prove it from various nuances in the story. Anyway, so he lost a get. Omar, he said, I'm looking for it. If any of you found it, if you need a simon for me to get it back, then I can give you a simon. If you can just return it to me based on tvius ena, based on that I can recognize it overall, sometimes, you know, you... Tvius ena, that's what it means. It means, but think of, for example, if you, for example, you know somebody, right? Could you describe in detail what their face, their facial features? No, you just have an overall impression of, yeah, that's tvius ena. So Rav Babachana is saying, I have a simon if you want, but also I have tvius ena. I have an overall recognition of the get. Well, that's it. So Aladruni, they return him again. So now Rabbi Abachana says, Lawyer Dinah, Ivishim Simona Hadrua. So now actually I don't know. Did they return it to me because of the simon? Because Savari Simonim Daraita, in which case they hold that Simonim are valid even on the Daraita level. Ivishim Tuyasena. Or did they only return it to me because of my overall recognition of it? And in that case, the Davkat threw him in Abonan. In which case that would only apply to a Tamar Chacham. I will Imish Ba'amaloy, but not a regular person. Now why not? Rashi says the reason is because based on a Gemara and Rav Matia, that only a Talmud Chacham has a chazaka of not lying. A non-Talmud Chacham, he says I have to be a Seiner. Who says he's telling the truth? Maybe not. So therefore, you can't return something to him based on to be a Seiner. Tosfos discusses that actually. Tosfos discusses that in slightly more detail. And Amar Oretz does have to be a Seiner, and Amar Oretz is able to recognize things on overall impression without needing specific simonim. But Loi Mehaman, we can't believe him to be able to return it on that basis. There are other Rishonim, I believe, that Amban it is, that talks about. But nevertheless, we don't know. He might lie. It's actually what the Gemara. Fine, they have a chesed kashas, but still, you know, people sometimes bend the truth a little bit. What the Gemara says there in Rav Matzia is actually, if this Talmud Chacham is known that the only three things that he bends the truth in are, the Gemara says there, the Masechta, if they ask him, do you know a certain Masechta, he'll say no, out of humility. The Puya, a few different explanations over there, just taking Rashi's explanation, if they ask him, did you sleep on, if they ask, Rashi says over there, it means if they ask him, Puya means a bed. If they ask him, did you have relations with your wife, then he'll say no, but that's tzniyus.
And not a lie.
That's not considered a lie because he's doing it with tzniyus. And Ushpiza, if they ask him, how are accommodations at this person who you stayed by as a guest, how are the accommodations, he's allowed to say that's not so good because he doesn't want it. If he says it's really good, then the guy's always going to have people beating down his door. So if we know that this Talmud Chacham only ever bends the truth by these three things, then you can return him a lost object to be a thing. Otherwise, not. And an Amaretz doesn't have that chazaka. There are other Rishonim, I believe, that Amban talks about, that maybe even with it may even be Tosfos to say that an Amaretz has to be a thing. they talk about maybe not. Maybe the specific kind of tviyas einer that you need. Yes, of course, an Amar artist like tviyas einer, we talked about the other day, for example, a person can be with his wife, even though maybe he can't describe every physical detail of her because he has tviyas einer. Even a blind person has tviyas einer in her voice. But there's a kind of tviyas einer that where something has been lost for a while, for example. Here we're talking about something that's lost, and you're being asked without seeing it to be able to describe it. Maybe an Amar artist doesn't have that kind of tviyas einer. Where the Talmud Chacham, who's precise, who looks into things precisely, will.
Regardless.
Yeah. So that's the upshot of it then is the halacha is that as far as the simanim. This what we're saying over here in the end, we said Rav Ashi had said that if you're going to have a get return using a simon, it has to be a simon muvak. It has to be a very precise simon. Otherwise, not necessarily can you return a get just based on tviyas einer. Especially in many places, the Shulchan Aruch says that nowadays we don't have some of the chacham of the caliber they did then for various dinim. I don't know as far as the din of tviyas einer, but yeah.